quickly.
Because we wouldn't want to remove that from our agenda. And certainly Shemei Ka'one Gaval Kishan Sugi that is in this parak as well. So I definitely see those three sugyas on our agenda. Maybe time permitting we'll add others, but to say just right now in terms of little Hagazal sugyas coming up. You know, that sounds awesome, but I'm not sure if it's really related. Okay. water everywhere. It's beautiful. Mayim Alatara, Mayim Vesasa, Mimayim Yeshua, Shavtim Mayim. It's, you know, a Sukkah topic, Simcha Shveisa Shoeva. There's a lot of wonderful imagery that comes from water. How exactly water will address my sneezing situation, I'm unsure, but I appreciate the offer greatly. Okay, so it may come very suddenly, just so you should be prepared. Okay, so as you know, in general, we start a sugya on a Tuesday, we have a short Seder and a short Shir. And very often there's a lot to front load with the Maror Makomos. How did you guys do with the new list today? Sorry?
Didn't make it too far.
I assume, you know, it's definitely more than a Tuesday morning list, but how far in general do people get?
Yeshua.
It's not like the second or third.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, that's something, because there's a lot of Gemara right at the beginning. Like it's a big toast. It's a big front-loaded list. So I would not expect you to have gotten so far. So as is often the case when we start a new sugya, and especially starting on a Tuesday, so I need to give you a little time to get into the sources. And also, we like to first try to lay our foundations and try to figure out what it is we want to know. So our Gemara here introduces the concept of mitzvah haba bi'aveira. It comes in through the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not clear what it's addressing. Mishnah tells us lulav hagazol v'hayavesh pasul, that you have a lulav that is subject to any number of issues. It's going to be pasul. So the parak's going to talk about a lot of them. The Hilchos lulav and esrog are among the most complicated and detailed and technical halachos that we have. But at the very beginning of the list here, before we get into some of the technicalities, there's these two general ideas. So, Gazel and Yavesh. I remember quite clearly when I was in Yeshiva in Israel, Karabi Avner, going to Mea Sharim and going Lulav shopping before Sukkos, and Esrog shopping as well while you're at it, you know, why not? And people were spending a lot of time examining very carefully the various offerings and looking at great depth and great precision at all of options. And I was walking at the time with one of the very holy Rebbeim from Karabi Avner, and he turned to me and said that probably the biggest soul we have to be concerned with is lulav hagazel pasul, that all the details that are going to be carefully established through looking very closely, it's not going to answer one of the biggest issues of the mumminous component. So are we dealing with any stolen property? Those are the first words. The whole parak is going to talk about lots of very detailed issues, but the first priority is, shouldn't be Lulav Hagazel is nothing to sneeze at. So, see, that works. So, that's the first concern, that it shouldn't be something which is stolen.
Is that really such an issue today?
Oh, so why do you think that it's not such an issue, or did you say tissue?
Well,
Why did you say
that? I've never heard of that being an issue.
The
Hagazel?
Yeah. Nothing personal. I'm going to agree with the last part. It doesn't mean that it's not.
Why would you suspect that it is?
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. Again, so we are going to focus on this mitzvah Babi Aveira part, but just while we're here at Yavish, just to say a word about it. So Rashi explains here, the Ba'ina mitzvah muhudaris, the chsiv anvehu. Right, Rashi says it's the din of the Anvehu, and this is obviously a big sugya as well. We did it earlier in the year. We spoke about Hidr Mitzvah, I think, before Hanukkah, so we won't spend a lot of time on it now. But just to refresh your memory a little bit, while we're passing it here in the Mishnah, so Rashi writes the Psul is the Anvehu, and Tosfos objects to that, because how is the Anvehu Ma'akev? It's the first Tosfos here. I didn't even put this on the Maamar Kovos list, just that while we're here on the daf, we should take note of it. Tosfos says, "Ein vanveihu l'chachil of l'misl b'hachi." That how could you disqualify a mitzvah for a lack of anveihu? He quotes the Gemara in the first parak, which was how we got into it there. So that by Ulav Starach Eged, that it's not Ma'akev. So Tosfos assumes that this is a different din. Within Rashi, I think we mentioned some explanations at the time that when it comes to Esrog and by extension to Lulav, we have the Pasuk saying explicitly is the Priyetz Hadar, although the Gemara understands Hadar to have other meanings here in that context. And Rashi doesn't quote that Pasuk, Rashi quotes the Anvehu. Some suggest that you have different categories of hither, that it's not ma'akev to say that a mitzvah has to be beautiful, but there's a baseline, and for it to dip below the baseline, for it to be negative, so then that could be a psul. So maybe Ulav Hayavish is below the baseline. That's puzzle territory. If it's not beautiful, okay, so then that's not going to disqualify it. But if it's Yavish, perhaps that does disqualify. The Ravid has a fascinating comment here. You can get that as a separate volume, the Ravid and Hilchos Lulav. The Ravid, that is quoted by many others here, is saying that it's a psul of lo hameisim mihaluka. The notion that you can't praise God with something that is dead is an interesting source for this idea. Okay, but Lulav Hagazel, what's the issue with Lulav Hagazel? So the Gemara asks, essentially, says the Gemara, we're skipping the rest of the Mishnah for now, says the Gemara, Kapasik Vitani Leshna Yantav Rishon Leshna Yantav Sheni. Sounds like this is not a halacha that is limited to the day when Lulav is Daraisa. So Mishlama Yavesh. I understand that Lulav has to be not Yavesh, because Hadar be'in Veleka. And again, Hadar doesn't mean that he's necessarily endorsing Rashi, because Rashi quotes the Pasuk in Beshalach as opposed to the Pasuk in Emor. Yes, sir.
Two questions on the Ravid. One,
yes.
Does that mean that he views the mitzvah of love as a praise of God,
rather than just the mitzvah? Yes, there is definitely, and that's going to be relevant to us. It's one of the reasons I wanted to introduce it into the conversation, because that may have impact for other things we're going to talk about.
Okay, but I think because it's not in Torah, it's from not, does that mean that it's only also on a lower level? It's not
good question. That's also going to be something that may be relevant to us. But again, that's within the Ravid, so it's hard to know what to do with it, but maybe. Okay, so says the Gemara, Kapasik Vitani Leshem Yantav Rishon Yantav Sheni. So Mishnah is Hatav Be'ir Velaka. Ela Gazel Bishlam Yantav Rishon Dichsev Lachem Mishalachem. Ela Yantav Sheni Amaylo. So if you don't have a requirement of Lachem, so then what's the issue? So Amr of Yochem Shem Shem Ben Yochai Mishom Dehavolei Mitzvah Habor Yavera. Because It's a problem of mitzvah bab yaveira. Rashi here just tells you this pasuk, which the Gemara is going to go on to tell you right now. Shenamar beveisem gozel v'yasach piseach v'yasach hola. So gozel dimid piseach. That's not pesach, it's piseach. It's somebody who is lame. So ma piseach lesle takanta. Av gozel lesle takanta. So just like by piseach, there's no cure. So too, which is an interesting assumption, that they're not giving into modern medicine. So too, gozel, there's no way to fix it. So loshna lefnei yesh, loshna yachi yesh. Doesn't matter before yesh or after yesh. Yesh here, meaning that the item that has been stolen, the owner has given up hope of getting it back, which is one of the elements that transfers property. So Bishlam Malif Neyesh. I understand before Yesh. Adam Kiyakriv Mikem Murachmana. The Torah says you have to give from yourself, in that case Karbanos, Lav Diday. This is from this week's parsha, right? It's from April. Yeah, it's from this week's parsha. Yeah, from the beginning of Vayikra, Adam Kiyak, Mikem Rachman of Allah Didehu. Aliyach Yayesh, Hakanya, Yayesh. But after the Din Yayesh, so he's acquired it already. So El Allah, Mishum, the Havalei, Mitzvah Habavi Aveira. And the issue is Mitzvah Habavi Aveira. Rami Rav Yochum, Mishum, 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 Yochai, Mai Dechsiv, Kemi Hashem, Ohev Mishpat, Sone Gezel Ba'ola. So God says, I love Mishpat, and I hate gezel and korban. So mashul melech basa b'dam, shayayver al beis hameches. So let's say you have a king, a flesh and blood king, who is passing in front of a tax house. Sounds like a scary place. Amali avadav tnu meches l'mochsim. He says to his servants, make sure to pay the tax to the collectors. Amrullah, they said to him, Halai ka mechas kulo shulchahu. So, but it's all going back to you. You know, what exactly is the point here? So, Amrullah, he said to them, Mimani yumadu kol avridrachim ali avrichu atzmi minam mechas. So, I want everyone to learn from me and hear that they should know that the mechas should be paid. Afakash baruch amar, so too God says, Ani Hashem, sone gazel ba'ola. I am God, I hate gezel in a carbon. Mimani yomadu banai v'yavrichu atzman min ha-gezel. So for me, they should learn to run away from gezel. It's interesting how the Gemara uses the word havracha, yavrichu, twice in two opposite contexts. He's saying they should not run away from the taxes. And here they use it to the parallel is they should run away from gezel. It's not interesting. Okay, so should we read a little further? I'll show you a few more lines. Okay, Ed Manami and Mervami Yavish Pasuk Nesh Ein Hadar Gazal Pasuk Shabbat and Sovi Aveira. So fine, those are the two issues. The Pligi, the Rav Yitzchak, the Amr Rav Yitzchak, Baruch Meini, Amr Shmuel, Loi Shon, Obi Yotav Rish, Obi Yotav Sheini, Mitoch Shiyotze B'shol, Yotze Noma B'gazel. That on the second day, since you can have a borrowed lulav, you can also have a stolen lulav. Masim of Nach B'Yitzchak, Lulav HaGov, Yotav Rish Pasuk, HaShol Kashu. So, but here we have this implication that there's a distinction between Shol and Gazel. So Amos, what are we talking about? Elaine of Yotav Rishon HaKsiv Lachem Mishalachem. It can't be the Yotav Rishon because it has to be Mishalachem. So Shaul is not going to be good. The high lav day because it's not yours. Elav Yotav Sheni. So we're talking about Yotav Sheni. Viksani, Gazel Pasul. And still we say Gazel is Pasul. So Elam Yotav Rishon. We must be talking about the first days. Velami Bai Kam. Velami Bai Shaul. Gilav Yidehu. Yes, even Shaul, which is not yours, so that's for sure no good. Well, Gazel, Amastam, Gazela, Yeish, Bailam. Maybe you might think that by Gazela, the guy's already given up and now it's yours. It could be Daydami, Kamash Malon. So we see that's not true.
It doesn't seem like such a precious reading of Mishnah.
I don't know what to tell you about that. It's a good observation. But in any event, so we're going to see more about this. There's more coming. This is so good. Avankari, maybe we'll just skip Avankari for now. We can come back to it. But maybe look a little bit at the Gemara Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. And the Gemara adds the second line, Tana Rabbana and Sukkah Gzulah, the Masachim for Shusarabim. Let's say you have a stolen Sukkah, and let's say you decide to lay down Schach in a public place for Blazer Paisel. We're talking about a situation where you hijack a sukkah, essentially. For Belazar, the time Mary Belazar, it's of his opinion, they know the Miyotse is Chavaso, Besukashel, Shochaveiro, because of Belazar's position. As somebody asked me about during one of the Bechinas yesterday, the Belazar's position is you can't be Yotze with your friend's sukkah. So, Ikarka Nixelis. If you believe that Karka has a din of Gzela to it, so Sukkah Gzulhi, so this is considered to be stolen, that's the issue. Vinami Karka ain't Gzelas, if you're going to say Karka not Gzelas, so Sukkah Shuli, it's a borrowed Sukkah. But a bottle of Taimayu and the Rabbanan are consistent with their opinion, Dabar Adam Yotze, De Chavos, Sukkah Shuchavere, you can't be Yotze with your friend Sukkah. The Karka ain't Gzelas, and Karka is not subject to the din of Gzela, the Sukkah Shuli, and it's considered to be a borrowed Sukkah. About Gazal Eitzim, let's say you stole wood, the Sikach man, and you put Sach on that, Divri Hakol, Elo Ela Dme Eitzim. All you have is the value of wood. The Maimon excited the Rishos Arab, Marsh the Rab Karkala Dideyu, because you see information of Rishos Arab. If Rishos Arab, the land is not his, so Kanam Bilam Karkala Dideyu. Okay. So let's stop there. So now let's try to talk a little bit, the next few minutes. Let's try to figure out some of the things we want to know about this concept of mitzvah habavi aveira. So, what jumps out at us as things that we have to investigate? What would you want to know about this din? Or what would you think you do know about this din? Yes, Jacob.
How far removed is it
from the Okay.
How far would it be allowed?
Okay, so that's certainly an issue that's going to have a lot of ramifications, and that's the kind of underlying question that is behind a lot of the sugyas here. Now, one thing we want to emphasize is it's easy to kind of lose your way with some of these sugyas, so I think it's important to point out at the beginning that one shouldn't come away with a kind of technically oriented approach to matters of theft and the like and say, okay, as long as I keep my hands clean, it's okay to do all kinds of sneaky and dishonest stuff. That's not the takeaway here. Clearly the takeaway is the opposite direction, that the thrust of the sugya is that we don't want averos associated with mitzvos, we don't want averos as a path to mitzvos, but we also recognize that the world is multifaceted and that there's a complex history behind a lot of things. So it's not possible to always completely purify every object that we're involved with from any kind of history of anything that was unsavory. So what our sugya is telling us is, yes, okay, so at a certain point it's not reasonable anymore to associate the stain of the Aveira with what you're doing. But at a certain point, it is reasonable. So we need to at least figure out where that is, to figure out where Gzela or other Averos are contaminating our mitzvos, and that's the focus that we should be emphasizing. So we shouldn't come at it from the opposite side and say, okay, as long as we're able to stay a few steps away from the Gzela, so then we're encouraged to pursue it. It's the opposite point, is that ideally we would live lives which were free of all stain of transgression and of theft. But it may not be possible or reasonable to ask that, but to what extent can we at least make sure that we are free of that? So that should be our focus as we approach our sugya, which the main point is that there is at least some level, there is at least some stage where Gizela is too much on top of what it is we're involved with, and that is going to disqualify. Yes, sir.
What's the relationship between Mr. Hovevier and Oscar Pelosa?
So you're adding another question here, you're saying. Right, no, I was okay, I wasn't sure if you were asking about what I was doing now or you were just giving me a question. Okay, so you want to know what's the relationship between Mitzvah Babi Aveir and Asay Dechalos, let's say. So let me try to flesh out a little bit what I think you're saying. You're saying that it's not true that the halacha never permits questionable means to get to necessary ends. There are times when we are permitted or required to do an aveira to fulfill a mitzvah. So how does that coexist with this idea? At what point is something called ase dechalos ase, where we say the need for the mitzvah outweighs, and at what point do we say that the mitzvah itself is disqualified because of its passage through an aveira? And how do those two ideas coexist? Good question. Yes, sir.
Possible answer to the question?
Okay, well.
It all depends on the distinction between Anadam Chavira and Anadam Makam.
So the question is that true? So that we have to see. there might be a good reason for saying that. You know what? I'm sure I'll address that for a second, even though we're really just in the question gathering stage. But because he said that, maybe let me clarify why that might be true, okay? So what Gila was saying is that, okay, so that does seem to be a little contradictory, that sometimes we say, do an aveira for a mitzvah, and sometimes we say the aveira is disqualified from the mitzvah. So he suggested a very possible distinction, that maybe it all depends whether it's been adam l'chaver or been adam l'makom, that the aveira's been adam l'makom can be tolerated and perhaps even encouraged in the pursuit of a mitzvah, but not a veir has been adam l'chavero. Can you explain why that is? Then you want to address this or your question about I've been pushing off.
I have a question. Try to address this.
So first, let's try to address this, then we'll come back to your question. So why would there be such a distinction? Ask.
If you being over God knows that what you're doing is for each time of mitzvah. But if you're being over people aren't perfect and they don't know that you're doing mitzvah. They just see the veira that's being done against them.
Okay, so or just to take that a step further, it could be that Akash Baruch would say, listen, this aveira is against me and this mitzvah is for me. So I'm telling you, I want the mitzvah more than I care about the aveira. So do the aveira, do the mitzvah, and I'm okay with it. Because God is the balabas. But when it's an aveira against a person, so then that person is in mechel, the person who's suffering. He's not saying, it's okay, step on me to do the mitzvah. So perhaps in such a case, then that aveira remains the betokev. And maybe that's the problem. And this is comparable to what we discussed recently by Osek Mitzvah Patim and Mitzvah. I remember mentioned then, but that there are a number of such cases where Achronim at least assume that certain klalim do not apply when there's a Ben Adam L'Chavero involved. And there was even a suggestion that some have that Pikuach Nefesh Doches HaKol does not override something like Gezel. So Moshe Feinstein has a shuv where he says can't be, it's impossible. But it could be that it's true on at least theoretical level, that when it comes to Chil Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, or eating on Yom Kippur for Pikuach Nefesh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, this is what I want you to do, so there's no Aveira of Chil Shabbos, there's no Aveira of eating on Yom Kippur. But when it comes to stealing, so yes, you're still going to have to steal in order, if that's the only way to keep yourself alive, but it's still an Aveira. You chose to do this Aveira in order to save your life, which was the right decision. But maybe it's still the Aveira, because the person whose property it is not going to be mochel necessarily. Sorry, I'm pushing you off.
Two questions. What's the scope of which mitzvah this applies to, and what's the scope of which Aveira applies to?
Okay, so very good questions, right? So that's so now we have, let's say, four questions that we need to try to figure out. How close does the relationship have to be to the Aveira and the Mitzvah? That's essentially Jacob's question. Why is this different from other areas where we do permit some type of ends justify the means? That's Gilad's question. And Daniel's two questions here. Is there any detail that's going to affect this, either in terms of the mitzvah we're talking about or the mitzvah, or the aveira we're talking about? Is it all aveiras the same thing, and is it all mitzvahs the same thing? Or is this only about certain mitzvahs and only about certain types of aveiras? Okay, any other questions? Yes, sir.
What if you do it? Does that do anything for you?
Oh, I'm saying, is there any value at all?
Right,
so the mitzvah of aveira completely garnished. Is it, is there a sad to say it's worse? I don't know, but is it completely nothing? Or is it compromised, but it has some value to it? Sorry?
Mosasser.
Oh, so you want to deal with it?
Okay,
so rabbinical issues, which we haven't brought in yet. You're saying, what about dinim d'rabbanan?
So I'm saying, like, we talked about the seemingly would be halachomer.
Oh, we want to say like that. You say that just that. Can we compare?
Okay.
Right, I was saying so that's already an interesting question, because what Gilad is saying is that we talked about this in the context of what happens if, let's say, you blow shofar on Shabbos. Chazal said not to do that. So there, we know we're not supposed to do it. But what happens if we do? Is there a mitzvah involved? Is there a mitzvah involved or not? So, on the one hand, that comparison's a little shaky, because actually, the truth is, the comparison would work better in the other direction. Let's say if we've been talking about mitzvah habah b'aveira, and then we wanted to know what's the impact of blowing shofar on Shabbos. So that would leave more open more possibilities. Because there you could ask, what is the story about blowing shofar on Shabbos? Is it essentially an isser? We're not supposed to do it, but if you do it, there is a mitzvah? Or is it a removal of the mitzvah? So here, seems much more likely that we're talking about a removal of the mitzvah. It's not an aveira per se, other than the aveira it already is. You know, the gezel or whatever aveira we're talking about is the aveira, so we don't have to question whether that's an issa or not. The question is, unless you want to say that that's the whole chiddush, which actually maybe there's room to clarify, is the whole chiddush that don't come to me and think, okay, it's legitimate for me to steal to perform the mitzvah of lulav. Maybe the whole chiddush here is no, it's not legitimate. The Yisr Gezela is still chai v'kayim. Just like Chazal can tell you, don't take a lulav on the first day if it's Shabbos. So is that the comparison? Or should we say that no, it's more than that, that we're not just being taught here that you can't do it. The language in Mishnah is possible. If you do it, it is worthless. So perhaps that's the question here. Interesting also, we mentioned at the time the two sugyas might be literally connected, because it also opens up the question of aveiras drabanan. So when you blow shofar on Shabbos, so if that was an aveira drabanan, maybe that should affect things, that maybe you're not yotze any mitzvah for blowing shofar, because the mitzvah habavi aveira wiped it out. So any other questions in the minute or two we have left? Yes, sir?
Are there ways to pacify the issue?
Okay, which is the other half of Jacob's question, that how far away do you need to get from the Avera? Anything else? A lot of other details we'll have to figure out. We'll have to figure out, is this a Dindaraisa, Dindarabanan, etc., etc. And the Gemara already raises a couple of possibilities, right, that if we want to possibly distinguish between different mitzvos, as Moshe was asking, so what standard will we use to distinguish between mitzvos? What mitzvos yes, what mitzvos no, what mitzvos no, what kind of mitzvos would you think would be more or less shaykh to this concept? And so the Gemara already throws in a couple, right? The idea of Sorry?
Says Tony Gezel.
Right. So when does God hate Gezel? What about the question of Lachem? Is that playing a role here? Right? Lachem, the Gemara invokes that, right? Is there something that is special about Lulav because of the Lachem issue? Even though it sounds like the Gemara is specifically saying that's not really our issue, that yes, Lachem is a concern, but that even when we've dealt with Lachem, it sounds like the Gemara is trying to say that our issue transcends that, because we're not limiting it to the first day, and we're also not linking it specifically to Shaul. So it sounds like the Gemara is moving away from that. But as we'll see from some of the Rishonim, it still plays a role. By the question of a mitzvah needing lachem, maybe that has a greater connection to the issue of mitzvah via there. Gilad?
I know it's not the most straightforward topic, but it's over to have a concept of community.
Yes, so the Gemara is talking about community exactly here. So, right? But the question is, so if you're talking about specifically for lachem?
Yeah.
Right, so the Gemara raises the issue, but it's certainly one that the Rishonim, especially that Tosus and Baba Kama, if you've had a chance to see it, it certainly is long, but it's going to focus on that issue specifically. So to what extent does Kenyan play a role here? All right, so I haven't even listed all the questions, but the questions that you've suggested, we have a lot to figure out tomorrow, and I'll see how long it takes overall, but we've got to figure out, just to recap. So we know that, in general, we don't want our averus tainted by... We don't want our mitzvos tainted by averus. That we know. But we also know that we only have so much control over the world. So there's a limit to how much we can trace. But within those limits, we do indeed have a concern of mitzvah haba b'avera. So the questions that were raised were, well, what are those limits? Just how far do you have to go? And is there a point at which point it doesn't matter anymore? Or rather, it's not our responsibility anymore. The question was also asked, how does this coexist? Essentially, seems to be saying the ends don't justify the means, but sometimes we know the ends do justify the means for mitzvah, so what exactly is the rule here? The question also came up, are there mitzvos that are more or less a part of this rule? And are there averus that are more or less a part of this rule? Both of those questions are very loaded questions because they will bring us into many other important distinctions. So, God willing, hopefully tomorrow we'll all get much further in the list, so we'll have the ability to talk more intelligently about this, and we'll see what we can uncover. Okay, everyone should stay warm and safe. And refuah shleimah to our trusty